Ice cream so good. Ice cream so good. Mr. Clean, we're back. LFG. I love her. She's making money. Let's get into it, guys. So, Block Bites is back. Did you miss us? I did. I missed y'all. So, that matters. Today, we're talking about another Gary Gensler hearing. But this time, it's different. No, it's not really. He wants the same thing. Also, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has come out and blown all of our Bitcoin minds. He wants to back USD with Bitcoin. I love it. We're going to get into that. And on the downside, Kuwait bans Bitcoin. What's up with that? Tune in, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Wake up. It's Block Bites. Take us in, Emmett.
Hello, guys. It's me, Corval, here. Today's show would not be possible without our sponsor, Shimmer Network. Just as a reminder, Shimmer is a DAG-based feeless Layer 1 network that's both fast and highly scalable. You can learn more about them at shimmer.network.
Dude, the originality of your opens are just special. I love them, dude. What? Well, why aren't you wearing your gang symbol today?
My bandana.
Yeah.
My dog is he's taking a liking to it, so he's chewing it up.
Your dog's chewing it. That's freaking disgusting. Yo, sorry we haven't been here, guys. Kid stuff going on. Corval needed some time off, man. He's been burning the candle at both ends. So here we are. We're here. And what are we talking about? I saw you do the... We talking about RFK. We talking about practice. Y'all ever seen that video?
Practice?
All right. We talking about
practice. That shows our age, Austin. And I'm younger than you. And it's just...
Yeah, you are. How old are you, dude? I'm not that old.
Easy, buddy. Easy.
Wait, how old are you?
My birthday is in 2 days, though.
My birthday is in 2 weeks. A little less than 2 weeks. You're Cancer. That make you a Cancer?
Cancer. Cancer Leo cusp, man.
Yeah. All right. Compatibility. Let's go, Mikey. Wait, but how old are you? Seriously. Like 15?
I'm 31.
You're 31. Shit. So you graduated high school in what, 09?
Oh, I didn't graduate high school. No, I'm just kidding.
You graduated. I graduated in 2001, bro. And that's so wild to think that 22 years ago I was getting out of high school. Man, that is fucking insane. What's up, everybody? Hey, do us a favor. Drop some comments. We missed you guys, man. Put something in the chat over here. We got Beebus coming. He's coming. He's currently in his yard chasing pussy. Literally, there's a cat loose in his yard, and he's got to help get the cat back out of his yard, and that's the reason why he's not currently here, but he's going to be here, he assured us, and we're gonna figure out why in the hell or how in the hell we're gonna back the US dollar with do you want to start with a chart?
Let's do a little market watch. We haven't been on all week, so I'd love to see what the Bitcoin dominance is doing.
So here's the dominance chart I've been, you know, hanging on to for a while. Now, I drew that, you know, potential head and shoulders back. I would say not quite a month ago, but a little less than a month ago, I drew this. And so far, it does appear to be playing out the way I would hope. So if we do see, if we see dominance, you know, drop below like the 49 level, we're definitely going to see 47. And then if we get that full head and shoulders, it might take a while to play out, but, that's very, very positive for alts. Bitcoin continues to be a drab little crab. Does anyone know what movie that's from? If you can name that movie, you will have my undying love and affection for the rest of your life.
Finding Nemo.
Nope, Moana. You're very close, though. I'm glad. Yeah, it continues to be crap. But honestly, like, it's just sitting in, still in a bull flag. We haven't really lost any major levels of support. Although I do think we may have lost the 200 period SMA. Let's check here. Sorry, I should have had this queued up ahead of time. We don't like dead air around here. So did we lose that? Yeah, okay. So we did lose the 200-period simple moving average on the 4-hour. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see what's going to happen. Honestly, if I were to make a prediction, here's the prediction I'm going to make. We do see a drop in Bitcoin, maybe even down to mid-28s to grab some liquidity, get a nice bounce up into this range and break through. I think it's coming. I think it's coming, Mikey. What else? Shimmer is crabbing. Oath crabbing along. Phantom, surprisingly. What's that?
Phantom's holding. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I would say that it's holding. I mean, dude, there's just so much drama in the Phantom ecosystem. And like, I was even getting DMs from people going, you know, is it safe for me to hold Phantom token? I'm like, well, yeah, it's, you know, completely safe for you to hold the Phantom token. Like, you're not going to, you know, it's not going to go anywhere, but like people are exiting that position just simply based upon, you know, the shit show that the ecosystem is right now. And I got to hand it to Mike. Like, Mike has been out there, Kong. He's been out there like giving interviews. He's been in the chats. Yeah. He's been very forthright. I know that they have a law firm in China that they have engaged. You know, to try and like, I don't know what, to try and like appeal to the CCP or something. I don't know, but like, that's kind of the thinking right now, is that the money was confiscated by the Communist Chinese Party. And so honestly, like, that seems to be far-fetched hopium, from my perspective. Like, you know, Circle and Tether have both frozen, like, I don't know, $70 million worth of what. But like, the process to get that back is like out of this world. Like, Circle will not reissue. They can only unfreeze, which means if we have, you know, compromised private keys, that's a non-starter. And then to like, even, you know, can you imagine what the process would be for thousands of people to try and like get their USDC back out of this? It would be such a shit show. Such a shit show.
Mr. Has it ever happened before? You know, like, has that ever happened before? Like, I don't think it has. I don't think it will. The process is to shout out Mr. Got Plenty.
Yo, what up, Big Cheese?
Oh, there he is.
Look at him setting up his
shoulders.
You been going to the gym or what, man? You got those delts working.
I'm actually just getting fat. I used to be ripped. It just looks like I'm gaining muscle.
What kind of a camera do you have again, Beebs? What kind
of
camera
is that? Sony A6000.
That's right. I have.
I just had to mediate a fight between my neighbors over a stray cat.
No. When we started the show, I told everyone you're out in your yard chasing pussy. Straight up, and you know. And I wasn't lying. Like, don't ban us over that, YouTube. So, anyhow, Market Watch is over. We got Beebus back. Mikey.
Beebus is back.
Let's do this.
Let me go ahead and boost the tweet here. Sorry, everybody, for being late. I hope there could be within this call a fight in my front yard.
Bro, please record it. Like, can you just point the camera at it?
I mean, probably I legally will have to record it.
So Beebus, okay, I noticed the left side of your mustache is growing back. Are you feeling more calm and peaceful these days?
I've started picking at the right side.
Oh, he's just evening this shit out.
I am feeling relatively peaceful, but I have tried to be more, you know, get some from down here and get some from over here.
Righto. No, that's good, man. I'm a nail biter, and sometimes they grow back, and I'm like, oh, I'm doing a really good job. And then recently, probably this morning, I bit right back through them. Mike, yes. We have that video? Do we have that video? Yes, dude.
Yes,
let's start it off with a video.
So we're going to start off with a video for you guys, and we are going to start off with another Gary Gensler hearing. I personally am not sick of talking about Gary Gensler. I love hearing what he has to say about how much he hates us, because he never used to. He didn't used to. He used to love us. I think there's a whole big thing going on in the background. But anyways, I digress. Let's watch his video. There was a hearing yesterday involving Gary Gensler. And this is Senator John Kennedy, no relation to John F. Kennedy.
What? And,
yeah. And this is him grilling Gary Gensler on the stand about FTX.
But where was the SEC? I mean, this was an accident waiting to happen. And I don't understand where the SEC was.
So, sir, I would say that the whole field has hurt more Americans than it should.
Yeah, but I'm talking about FTX. I mean, we look back at FTX. I mean, Senator Durbin made this point. And we have this elaborate, complex regulatory machinery, the SEC, which I support, which is supposed to guarantee transparency and combat fraud. And any fair-minded person has to look at FTX and Mr. Bankman-Fried and these kids and go, what in God's name? Where was everybody? Where was the SEC?
And I would say where we were is my predecessor, and also under my honor to be chair, we've brought 140 or 150 actions. There are 15,000 to 20,000 tokens, and there are dozens of platforms.
Yeah, but it was after the fact, and Gary. I mean, here's this young man. He did everything but buy Mount Rushmore. Weren't y'all curious? Where's this guy getting this money?
I would say that in the summer of 2021, when we Wells noticed a very large crypto exchange in the U.S., they went on Twitter and said that we were sketchy. When we subpoenaed Do Kwon, this is all public, so I can say it. When we gave him a subpoena, he fought us in the district court. He fought us in the appellate court.
But I'm not talking about how many lawyers can dance on the head of a pin. I'm talking about why didn't you send somebody down? I guarantee you, with his ego, Mr. Bankman-Fried would have welcomed you. Okay, he probably would have asked you to bring a film crew.
Could he dodge that anymore? Beavis, I muted you while you were typing, bro. Could he have dodged that anymore? Like, this freaking guy, he wouldn't touch it. And, you know, I could listen to that Kennedy guy talk all day. Like, he has just got the most.
He's funny.
When he talks, I just feel like I'm sitting in a rocking chair sipping an iced tea, man, on the front porch, you know, looking out at Mayberry.
He's kind of like a cartoon character. I mean, I think like this is just going to be what we get for the next 12 to 24 months until Gary gets ousted or goes to jail or whatever.
or defunded. That's another thing is that, you know, I mean, of course, we still have a Democratic Senate. But like ever since the XRP ruling that the token itself is not a security. Meaning, which basically says no token as a token is a security unless you grant rights to equity or profit share or some shit, right? The only thing that can make it a security is the way in which it's sold. Like that was a big ruling that I don't think that could be like overstated how important that is. And so there's been pushback on the right and the left now against Gensler saying, hey, your whole thesis that all of these are securities just went out the fucking window, buddy.
Yeah, there has been. And just to kind of just take a point on that also is it's funny because XRP had its highest daily close of the year on pretty much the same day that Gary Gensler was in front of Congress asking for $109 million more to help the SEC rein in the Wild West.
What do you do with that money? Like, what does he need? Is it just to hire more lawyers and increase the legal bandwidth? Or is it just like...
yacht party with the crypto bros? Or with Prometheum?
Like, the thing is, like, so, okay. Here's a guy trying to scale an organization so he can fight crypto. You spend, like, $20 million on hiring, how long until those people you hired are actually useful? Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we look at the same thing, I think, with the IRS. If you hire all those people, if you increase all this bandwidth, who's doing the training? Who's doing the management? And wouldn't that just hamper their abilities to litigate their current cases? I mean, I feel like, you know, trying to throw money at a problem, and maybe, you know, I'm coming at this from like a software engineering angle, which, you know, you try to throw people at a project, you try to throw too many cooks in the kitchen, it's like a liability. And I imagine like legal cases are much the same, because a lot of this is, you know, we can call it legal engineering, where they're trying to construct a case and a framework that covers all of these edge cases, that covers all of this field they're trying to cover. And to me, I think like everybody's right who is saying, you know, how are they going to do all these cases? They're spread too thin. Nothing's going to happen. They're going to ultimately fail. And I feel like all he wants to do now is just like hamper everybody, slow everybody down, you know, get everybody mired in court cases. And what he's talking about in this call, where it's like, oh, they resisted. No. Like, you know, what do you expect? Like,
if his purpose is actually to do as much damage as he can to the crypto industry, I mean, obviously winning the XRP case would have been really important. However, even though he lost that, he can still do a ton of damage by bringing suit against individual tokens, getting them wrapped up into legal battles. The ones that can't afford it, if there's not precedent already set that their lawyer can point to, well, then, you know, we may have an under library on our hands. There's all sorts of shit he can do if his true motivation underneath it all is really just to shit on the industry, which it sounds like it. Doesn't it sound like, you know, he used to love crypto. Doesn't it sound like the guy that got cheated on and now he's running around calling his girlfriend a whore all the time or his ex-girlfriend? I mean, that's what it sounds like. Like you just cross that love to hate, you know, imaginary line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bibas asked like, really, like what is all this money for? Gabe Gensler would tell you that the SEC, according to the Block article, the SEC brought more than 750 enforcement actions across the markets it regulates in the 2022 federal fiscal year. But to Senator Kennedy's point during that hearing, what about the biggest one that effed over everybody? FTX. Where were y'all on that? You were inviting him to Washington, D.C. And that's why
I don't think did we ever even get like anything like a postmortem or like,
well, we're not going to, because Gary's old boss at MIT was Ellison. What the hell was her first name? Caroline Ellison's father,
Caroline,
who was the CEO of FTX. Right. There was so many little connections here. And like it really came out that it wasn't Sam that was running this show. It was senior Bankman-Fried. Joe Bankman. I think is his name, who was actually like kind of the mastermind behind all of this. And we're kind of rehashing old shit now, but so there were a lot of connections and it definitely was underhanded. Like these were not, you know, these were like, I know you, you know me, let's get into a room and see how we can, you know, maximize profits, so to speak. I got to take a leak. I'll be right back.
Was it about maximizing profits or was it about damaging the industry?
You asking me?
Like what was the motivation?
The motivation behind FTX or Gary Gensler
and related collusion?
For sure, like with FTX, man, for me, you know, putting my tinfoil hat on, it was all a part of a greater conspiracy to damage the industry.
I mean, we're going to be talking about this, like this is our generation's Enron. We're going to be talking about this for the next probably 50 years. We're going to be telling our kids about it. We're going to be like, you know, there was once this guy, he was like the world's biggest asshole. It's hard to be the world. It's hard to be like, you know, every 5 years, I feel like there's one Hitler. And I feel like SBF maybe, you know, took the chips home there. But that might be a little extreme. I mean, there are probably like more Hitlers running around. Like, are there any genocides going on? So maybe that's like yes.
When our grandkids are in school learning about blockchain and crypto, this is going to be, you know, the Alamo.
Yeah, it's like
what I make up those meetings went like was, you know, okay, well, instead of destroying the industry, why don't you help us to become as big as we possibly can? And since we're going to be friendly towards what you guys want, now you've got somebody at the top, sort of thing. Yeah. That's kind of the and clearly, like when SBF was pushing his bill, you remember that bill that he was going and Eric Voorhees came on and like debated him over it. And it was clear at that minute he was the villain. Like we knew after all that he had become. What am I looking at? Is that like a dragon fruit with on top of a chicken or like a what is that?
The sea urchin on top of a
in leg. Somebody's hand, right? It's not like a young child swimming in the ocean that's missing his hands, right? That's kind of.
I think it's supposed to be SBF. Yeah. For everybody listening and not watching. I think Emmett threw up this awful image of the backside of SBF in a pool of water.
Yeah. It's actually, I'm going to spoil it as well for the listeners. It's just a sea urchin resting on a man's palm.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh my God, it is. Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you really know? Mikey's.
Did you not really? You didn't really realize that?
No, I swear to God, I didn't. I really
didn't. Did you think it was like a handless child with.
No, I thought that was the back of someone's head and their arms were out.
The quality of this show has gone so downhill.
It's been 3 days, Austin. Give us a break. So keeping on the topic of Gary Gensler anyways, our good friend over at Fox Business, Ellie, she put out this tweet just yesterday. Let me add my stream. Where she said that there were two letters in the past 24 hours sent to Gary Gensler asking him to end the SEC's regulation by enforcement approach to crypto and engage with Congress on legislation. One was from Richie Torres, who is in fact actually a Democrat. Wow, we got one. And then one from French Hill and Dusty Johnson. I would like to just bring up Richie Torres's.
I mean, the thing about advancements in money is whether you're an MMT Democrat or you're a really, you know, fiscally conservative Republican, the technology suits both economic paradigms really well. It's like, I think we've talked about this before. It's like not political. It's a piece of technology. And if you want to print money, you know, to high heavens, then it'll let you do that way easier and more efficiently. And it'll let you distribute that money with better accountability. If you want to, you know, never spend another dime, then it's a great way to manage inflation. It's a great way to, you know, ensure that any inflation that does happen is properly accounted for. And, you know, both of the things I'm talking about are kind of CBDC-esque. I don't think there's a world where we're just like, it's Bitcoin. I think we are going to get CBDCs. And I think, you know, really, I don't think the government is organized enough to just like be total glowies like we're afraid they are. I think really what's going to happen is, you know, they're just going to manage subsidies, manage incentives, manage all this stuff using a CBDC potentially. And it's just like the absolute best way to execute on any economic policy, whether it be Republican or Democrat or evil. Like if they want to be evil, they want to be like, you're not allowed to buy Fortnite anymore.
Even if this administration is not the one to do it, if the potential exists for it to happen, you know, if they do away with cash, like cash is beautiful in its simplicity. It's just cash. Right.
Yeah.
We've all kind of accepted that cash has a value, but if they do away with cash and it becomes this digital form of cash, you know, that's programmable. It's upgradable. Somebody could get a wild hair up their ass, you know, in the future and go, you know what? Everyone that has ever shopped at this bong store over here on off of I-4. Like, that's it. You're going to the gulag.
ATF is showing up at your house.
Yeah, like anything. like if it can be abused, one thing I've learned since 2016 and maybe even before is it will be abused. The Twitter 100%. Files exposed all of that shit.
It totally, you give them an inch and they always try to take a mile. I mean, the thing is, like, we're talking about politicians here, you know, even our favorite politician, you know, probably leaves quite a bit to be desired. So to me, it seems relatively inevitable that we're going to see bipartisan support of a CBDC.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess, like, And it's kind of like internet privacy, like, you know how the internet used to be good, you know how, like, you know, we used to be able to, like, do what we wanted without everybody sniffing up our butts. You know, we're going to see the same thing happen with money now. And the thing is, like, and the thing that sucks really is I feel like with the increase in like surveillance, with the increase in, you know, anti-privacy legislation, like, we've just seen more and more and more, like, people getting radicalized and more extremism to the degree that the effectiveness you impart on an enforcement regime, you know, kind of gets diluted by the amount of people pissed off by it. It's like, you know, who's that guy that blew up the FBI headquarters that died recently? It's like they just continuously piss people off and create more, you know, radicals willing to do terrorism, which is, I guess, like, you know, the pretense for all this crap is, like, you know, we want to be able to look on the blockchain and see who bought, you know, fertilizer and nitroglycerin and all this crap, you know, all at once. We can machine learning, figure out exactly who's making bombs in their basements. You're just going to have people being more creative and you're going to have more people pissed off about it. So,
yeah,
I mean, really, I'm of the opinion that nothing is effective, but, like, you know, the cringe stuff, like love and trust and,
you know, if bomb ingredients on
DeSantis doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, probably, of winning the presidency. But, like, he did ban, you know, it's law. CBDCs are banned in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know how all that's going to go. But if something can be exploited, it most definitely will be exploited. There was a tweet just now that Elon replied to, which was RFK at a hearing in front of House Democrats on censorship. And then the Democrats voted to censor him during during the hearing on censorship. Like, there's a 3-minute. So my point is, like, it's all about, you know, they have a direction in mind, and that's, like, love Trump or hate Trump, like, he's very rough around the edges, dude. But there is a reason that was attacked and is continually being attacked. You know,
let's not Trump. This has nothing to do about Trump right now. Trump has nothing to do with crypto. I don't even know if Trump would even be pro crypto, honestly. But we're not. So what I wanted to bring up a point real quick in this tweet that I brought up was that there is clearly a divide in Republicans and Democrats when it comes to crypto, and there shouldn't be, because like Bibas said, it's tech. There shouldn't be this weird bipartisan.
I mean, we live in such a contrarian society that it's like Republicans choosing to endorse something or Democrats choosing to endorse something will almost inevitably have the opposite effect on the other party, just because, right, like, people, like, it's, you know, age of information, everybody's tweeting, like, you know, Ted Cruz likes Bitcoin, it's so cringe, and, you know, right, you can't use it on Fortnite or whatever, you know, kids care about nowadays. But it's like, you know, and that's really the problem. It's like, there's less nuance to anything, and now, like, you know, people can run on really kind of flimsy platforms, and then they get in office and they just, like, spin around in their office chair while their constituents, like, shove, you know, 1,000 weird bills inside of every, like, you know, piece of legislation. And then, like, 4 years later, we're worse off yet again. And it's like, Will we ever learn? I don't think so. But, you know, honestly, a thing, the reason that I like DeFi, the reason I like Bitcoin is that it allows us to kind of create localized economies, and it allows us to align like-minded people in a pseudo economic system. And really, like, the power of money is it's like it's an insulator and it's like a receiver or retriever. It's like, you know, you have money, you gain access to any opportunity that that money can afford. That's, you know, the power of abstraction. And you know, you have money, you can do things in a compliant way. Like there are people, like someone perfectly smart, perfectly capable, knowing exactly the same as this guy. If he has $100,000 versus $0, he can do about 1 million times more thing just due to licensure, you know, various types of regulation. And, you know, I think an interesting thing about decentralization is it kind of, and I guess decentralization goes beyond just blockchain. Like we see communities showing up on Facebook, on Instagram, on internet forums that are decentralized, that are able to rally around a specific cause or shared interest and build economies and build communities. And I think, like, I mean, I hope we get to a point where, like, we don't even need politicians or whatever. Like, that would be my ideal scenario, where it's just like everything at the federal level or even the state level is a machine learning problem, and everything else is just like, you know, local government. And people can move to whatever local government, you know, suits their fancy, whatever environment. But blockchain facilitates that. Information sharing and exchange facilitates that. We're in like a hyper local world where our group chat has, like, you know, the same impact on our life as, you know, our government or more. And that seems to be happening increasingly. And it happens at every level of society. Like, you know, all of the millennial VCs are all in a group chat talking about all the shit they're investing in, bragging to each other, you know, creating this world and using their money to create this world that they want to live in. Politicians, same deal. I mean, maybe a lot of them are a little old to be messing around in group chats, but they've got their homies, you know, they got their allies. I guess it's just, you know, a hyper efficient version of history. And we just, that's why shit moves so fast now. It's like, you know, all of history, all human behavior is condensed into like a little morsel, and everybody's, you know, taking a bite, and who knows what'll happen.
Well, sorry, this is a great segue. No, that's all right. Cause that's brilliant. But this is a great segue. This is a great segue into the next topic. But really quickly, I just want to finish my point. To touch on what B was saying, like how this is a bipartisan issue, because it definitely is. If you look at Congress nowadays, Republicans, for the majority, seem to be pro-crypto. I'm sure there are some that aren't. And Democrats are very much anti-crypto. Elizabeth Warren's anti-crypto army. But this this Congressman, Richie Torres, sent a letter to, from his office, sent a letter to Gary Gensler that said, basically, at the very bottom, to wrap it up, I look forward to finding out how the SEC will reassess its regulatory assault on crypto assets in light of the Torres doctrine. There is hopefully room to make the SEC regulatory and regulation for crypto not bipartisan.
Did he label his own shit the Torres Doctrine though? Like that's pretty
dope.
No,
that's just no. That's just his last name. That's just
he's I know. Also got, but like he's like
Torres.
This is my doctrine. This is my manifesto.
No, you know, Judge Torres. Judge Torres.
Oh, okay, not Richie Torres. No, Judge Torres. Okay, all right. Keep it moving. I'm sorry.
Good
this guy had big ego playing in here. You know.
Good distinction. But so talking about you know, politics and crypto. Would you guys like to move on to the next topic?
RFK.
RFK.
What an interesting one. Guy,
what has this guy been up to? So
up to a lot.
So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was at, he was speaking at a Heal the Divide PAC event. I think it was just yesterday, maybe last night or in the morning. And RFK Jr. said some pretty interesting things about Bitcoin and fiat. I'd like to start with one point, because there's three that I want to touch on. All right, the first is, this is a quote from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He wants to back the U.S. dollar with Bitcoin.
But how specifically? We got to get into the nuance of that.
Quote, my plan would be to start very, very small. Perhaps 1% of issued T-bills would be backed by hard currency, by gold, silver, platinum, or Bitcoin. Describing his vision for returning to a hard currency standard in the U.S.
So this is new debt issuance, right? Which new debt issuance is new money, essentially. And so as new money comes out, it is backed in some small way of what? Like a basket of, let's say, Bitcoin, gold, and silver. And this, you know, basket has a, what, an average value, we'll call it. I mean, because obviously it's going to fluctuate. Naturally,
like China.
But the nice thing about backing, when they backed with gold, if the U.S. dollar was backed by gold, then there could just be an appreciation in gold to allow an appreciation in new dollars being printed, right? I mean, that's kind of the way that that could work out. And if gold was appreciating at the rate of inflation, then continue to inflate, right? And unless gold takes a shit, and then you're kind of getting to a weird place. So is the purpose of this to like slow down the rate of inflation? Because like if we're issuing new debt or new money, but some of it is backed, then shouldn't that pull back a little bit on the actual fiat inflation that we're experiencing? Or I'm interested in this very, and I know all the Bitcoiners are very interested in this, but of course, like this is a really weird thing.
I think that's what it sounds like. You know, like he also added on top of that, that depending on the outcome of the initial step, like basically if it worked or it didn't work, then he would increase that Bitcoin allocation annually. So it does sound more of like a sort of what you were speaking on, like a hedge against inflation. But I just don't understand how that would work.
It sounds like he wants to pump Bitcoin, which is, you know, that honestly, I mean, is a platform that will get more votes probably than like most, you know, hardline issues. Mm-hmm. If your platform is pump Bitcoin, fuck it, I'll vote for you. You know, like
right.
You know,
I agree.
I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again. But when it comes to electing a president, it's like, who cares? You know, it's like just. Figure out what will benefit you most and then take that and use that to impact your local, you know, world, whether it be your family or your, you know, town or your block, whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. But dude, like any president that says they'll pump Bitcoin, I'm just like, all right, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Roll with it.
Every president so far, I think, has just lied. So, you know, if your platform is, you're like, I'm going to do one thing. Everything else, I'm just going to leave up to, you know, whatever scammers, you know, find their way into my cabinet. And that's going to be pump Bitcoin. I'm like,
well, Biden did the most to pump Bitcoin. I mean, honestly, with the inflation that happened,
inadvertently. I mean,
I don't think inadvertently, it pumped everything.
He pumped this, dude. And Democrats were making money. I mean, the thing is, everybody was like, oh, Nancy Pelosi's making money. And then you look at how many Republicans were just like making insane gains. Yeah. I was like, everybody's making money. Your dog is making money. That hamster, dude, you remember the hamster?
The hamster that just was trading doing hamster. Random shit?
Dude, what was going on in 2021?
Money printing. And direct... And money going directly to people. Like I didn't even sign up for it. I was getting like 500 bucks a month directly sent to my bank account. And I copped a resentment every time I saw it because I'm like, dude, I don't need this, but y'all just throwing it in my bank account.
But I was like, why are they sending me all this money? Like, it's just, you know, it's just going to be another extra thing to account for. I mean, you know, I like
Piper, man.
Why don't they just constantly give everyone money nonstop and then the economy is perfect forever?
Hello, UBI. UBI. You heard to hear Austin and Beavis like UBI. Boom. Let's go.
I don't have a UTI, bro. What the fuck are you talking about? Drink some cranberry juice. You can fix that, Mikey. You know, got a UTI.
It burns when I pee.
Oh, stop.
You brought it up.
This show is going so downhill.
I'm listening to Tibetan Healing Flute. I've been listening to it this whole episode, and it's why everything I say, I think twice, and I'm like, can I say this in a calmer way, which I think isn't good for viewers.
That's why your mustache is growing back. That's why. You've got
the answer. I'm trying to enhance my mustache using data-driven sound technology.
Y'all know about this smoking toad? Y'all know what that is? It's like a form of DMT. It's like the ayahuasca, but you smoke it, and you go into like this trip. I don't think you lick the toad, bro.
You guys are
is that what you've been doing? You're probably gonna overdose on DMT. You start licking toad, man.
I find frogs out in my front yard and I lick them.
Nah, it gives you like this spiritual experience, heals like past traumas and anxiety and depression. I know somebody watching has heard about the toad. Anyhow, I don't know. That's what I think of when I think of Tibetan healing flutes, as I think about the toad, which I should go do at some point soon. I need some healing.
So to wrap up this first point of RFK's little event that he had. Is I feel like I'm an idiot when I hear he wants to back USD with Bitcoin, you know, because I don't understand how that would work. Scott Melker, the Wolf of All Streets, he tweeted, "I love the idea of backing USD with Bitcoin, but someone needs to explain to me how it's possible. What are the mechanics of partially backing a fiat currency that can be printed from thin air with hard assets?" Now, we kind of already went into that. I just wanted to bring up the point that I think it's not as easy, obviously, as RFK has suggested, but it definitely got people talking about Bitcoin, which I think was the point and a good thing.
Yeah,
because I guarantee you, well, I mean, I guarantee, but like every Bitcoin holder out there right now is looking at RFK thinking, I'm going to vote for you because of what you said.
I think the problem with picking such a young asset is there's so much bias toward, you know, the people who bought into it early. And the thing about gold is it's had thousands of years to percolate. It's had thousands of years to, you know, float around and decentralize, quite literally. So, you know, you back something with gold, it's not like saying, I'm going to kingmake all the people who were smart enough to buy gold early, because all those people are dead 100 times over. You know, but you say something like Bitcoin, you kingmake everybody who bought Bitcoin early on. It's like, that's like the annoying guy down the street, you know, who somehow has $14 million and hasn't spent any of it except on like the world's loudest motorcycle, you know.
We got to talk about the capital gains thing, though, because is actually way more, I think, more significant, and will have a quicker impact.
Right. So for Bitcoiners or people holding Bitcoin, if you didn't think that was enough, just like the idea of that happening, as maybe unrealistic or infeasible as it sounds, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said this in the same breath. I'm going to read the little paragraph real quick. Indulge me. The benefits of this include facilitating innovation and spurring investment, ensuring citizen privacy, incentivizing ventures to grow their business and tech jobs in the United States rather than in Singapore, Switzerland, Germany, and Portugal. Non-taxable events are unreportable, and that means it will be more difficult for governments to weaponize currency against free speech, which, as many of you know, is one of my principal objectives. This is because, he said, in his administration, he will exempt the conversion of Bitcoin to the U.S. dollar from capital gains taxes.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Let's go.
I mean, because what that means, like, let's take a guy like me who's, you know, I got a plethora, a basket of shit coins, right? And, you know, when those shit coins make a move, you know, I'm thinking, all right, I want to go buy this, you know, beautiful beachfront property that's over here. But a portion, but because regardless, when I sell it, it's going to go into, you know, it's going to go into, it's going to trigger capital gains because these are shit coins. However, this kind of gives me the option, or at least it puts the idea in my head that maybe I, you know, I still have to pay the capital gains tax when I go from a shitcoin to Bitcoin. But if I now have the option to get further appreciation on my money by moving it into Bitcoin specifically without having to pay tax again on that appreciation, that is a move. That's a big move.
I mean, I guess it's just like him saying we want Bitcoin to be an American currency.
Right.
Which, I mean, is really dope. I think it's just too early for that. But, I mean, I think the idea, like the fact that someone is voicing this idea on a platform as big as his is amazing, because maybe something like this does happen in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years. You know, it seems like policy moves at the speed of light nowadays. But at the end of the day, kind of going back to my point, it's like if you're going to knight a brand new asset in the grand scheme of things, you know, 10, 15 years is not that old. You know, a 15, like Bitcoin didn't even see 9/11, you know.
Neither did Mikey. Sorry, just kidding.
you know, it's not really. It's like it's too extreme. It's too extreme of an idea, I think, to get buy-in and to kind of pass, you know, the sniff test overall. Mm-hmm. But, you know, next, you know, cycle, next election, maybe two people are saying this. You know, the one following, maybe it gets on like a primary ballot or whatever. You know, maybe the one following, it's like a high contention item in 40 years or so. You know, I think it has to start with someone getting on a platform and saying, what if? And I see that's like a lot what RFK is doing. I mean, I personally would love it if Bitcoin became a U.S. currency and we gave it all these special advantages and we just pumped the living shit out of it. But, you know, if I'm being honest, like, you know, if I'm here to represent the entire U.S., the U.S. isn't well enough positioned to be doing shit like that. You know, like the infrastructure doesn't exist yet. I mean, El Salvador, they fired off the Bitcoin thing because, you know, what else do they have? You know, there's nothing.
Right. You know, what's Well, I was going to say, you know, what's interesting about this is that right now, prior to RFK taking a pro crypto stance, there were only people on the right taking pro crypto stances. And so anyone that was a single issue voter was going to vote red. That was the end of the story. He's now currently, from what I can tell, the only person who he identifies left, but he seems to be very center left. But he's the only one on that side who could get a pro crypto vote, because there's a lot of people that don't want to vote Republican, but they sure as hell don't want to vote against their livelihood at the same time. So they're going to make that sacrifice. I think he's even if he can't do this shit, as a talking point, as a vote getting point, it's beautiful.
He's bridging that gap. Exactly. And that's what I think.
John Doe in the comments is a little spot on. It is up there with student debt forgiveness, where it's like, I'm going to say something that is so extreme just to get votes. You know, because at the end of the day, like, you sit down, is this fair? Is this an act? Should this actually be a federal policy that benefits everybody? You know, the answer with a lot of these extreme things is going to be no, because not everybody uses Bitcoin. You know, it's like, need to support the things that everybody's using, you know, like Fortnite and V-Bucks.
Like backing Oath with Subway sandwiches.
You know, we need to start thinking about Subway. We need to start thinking about
Subway's garbage.
TikTok stickers for Pinky Doll.
Subway's good. Pop, 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 pop. I mean, I think it is. These are the exciting ideas that get people off their couch and maybe interested in an election. And I think that's the important thing. And they get people thinking. And if this can spur, you know, 10,000 dorm room arguments, then I think it's a huge win for Bitcoin. And I think it's a huge win. As someone who believes, you know, Bitcoin and crypto is the future and more fair and more equitable to all, I think that's a win for everybody. And just getting people talking about it, getting people arguing about it, get people laughing at it, you know, getting mad about it. I think, you know, absolutely massive win. But end of the day, I think it's very obvious he has bag holder bias, which is fine as well. Everybody has bag holder bias. It's just now it's on a transparent public ledger. So, you know, it's a lot more obvious than it was in the history. Like saying, oh, we're going to make coal the ultimate source of fuel. Like that's saying the same shit. It's like, oh, you know, okay, great. You have a coal bias. Let's look at your portfolio. Or, you know, green energy is the future. All right, let's look at your portfolio, dude. And who knows? It's like a chicken and the egg situation. It's like, does he have, you know, those vested interests because he believes in this? Or does he believe in this because he has those vested interests because some guy sold him on, you know, green energy, you know, stock at some point? Who knows? And I think strong conviction and well thought out ideas will, in the long time frames, win. I think the, you know, Bitcoin backed currency, you know, no Bitcoin taxes, whatever, probably needs a little time in the workshop to get perfected. But very cool nonetheless. It's an interesting idea, but it's like.
But we're talking about him. That's the point. He's a candidate that nobody thinks can win, but he's not. But there's been other candidates that nobody thought could win that have won. You know, and I do think that he's talking about the issues that you're not supposed to talk about, though.
And also the real ones. No one in the, I hate using this word, mainstream media. I don't watch any MSM. I'm not going to make the joke. I was going to do BDSM. I'm not going to make the joke. I'm not going to make the joke, though. I don't want
to. It's too late.
I like to get my news from independent journalists on Twitter or just, like, you know, regular in the news. I hate watching Fox and CNN. But you know what I've noticed is that nobody in the mainstream media is talking about what RFK has been saying about Bitcoin.
Oh no! All they're talking about is that he's an anti-vaxxer. That's all they will say is shit on him.
And so,
shit on him.
What that says to me is that, like, he's doing something. He's doing something right. I don't agree with everything he says, but I do agree with a lot of what he says. And that for me, right there, and this is not an RFK Jr. shill show, but just personally, like,
yeah, it is.
It's become so politicized. It's become so polarized. That, like, if you're left, I don't agree with anything you say. And most of the times, if you're right, I think you've gone too far. Right? So finally, here's someone that, like, is like, I don't agree with a lot of what you say, but I do agree with some of what you say. And that's so rare in today's politics. I think I am excited for the debate season.
I mean, I think the reality there is, I'm a Republican, but I hold Bitcoin. This guy's saying good stuff about Bitcoin. Wow, he's so smart.
Right.
What's happening, which is fine. It's just, you know, you're pandering to a very specific audience.
Makes us think.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in my opinion, I think cryptocurrency, like, is more of a, like, left-leaning thing than a right-leaning thing. For some reason, although the origins in libertarianism, and, you know, we can talk about horseshoe theory, whatever, but the origins in libertarianism has made it, like, cringe to anybody, you know, on the left. So it's been growing in the right. And the reason it's been growing among Republicans is because they just invest more and they honestly probably make more money. And they take, you know, more calculated risks in the markets. But really, like, hey, here's a technology designed to create, like, you know, hyper-localized ecosystems, or here's a technology that can, you know, distribute financial weight or currency or serve everybody in the entire world. Like, you know, I get it's the, like, globalist leftist agenda at the surface, and digging deeper, it's like, you know,
it's a lot more.
I mean, I'm not going to make the commie argument for cryptocurrency, but
the commie argument.
It's certainly, like, if you read Marx's Capital and you think about cryptocurrency, it's like, oh, you know, this is kind of one to one.
We have so many good snippets of you, Beavis, like, talking about slavery and Hitler and all sorts of different shit.
I mean, the, like, you know, I you read, you know, your David Grabers and your whatnots, you know, you think about, okay, society right now looks exactly like society has always looked, just, you know, a little different. You know, we're optimizing, you know, finding new ways to do the same shit over and over and over and over again. And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we're going to see the same shit. It's like, oh, new technology. We're going to use it for this. We're going to use it for this. And the reality is all of us really just want to use it to, like, you know, get dopamine hits where we can. Like, we want to use it to make money. We want to use it to freaking, you know, buy drugs online. People want to use it to freaking, you know, play in the Rollbit casino or whatever the hell. Because that's really like the mass market shit. It's like, you know, people will pretend, you know, this is, I like this for philosophical reasons. And then when it comes down to it, it's like the real thing they're using it for is like, you know, I'm buying, you know, research chemicals online.
I apologize. I got to go. I have a call in 2 minutes. I got to hop on. Keep it going, gents.
Have to go. Austin, love you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Austin. Guys. Goodbye.
As always. Beavis, what you got?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm tilted just because I had to mediate that stray cat argument this morning. But
otherwise... Yeah. So are they fighting outside yet?
No, one of the ladies took the stray cat back to her home. So it's resolved.
Okay. Well, I hope the stray cat's okay and it didn't go home to a, you know, some sort of cat eating.
Maniac. No, no. I think it went to a good home. So
do you live beside cat eating maniacs, Justin?
I live beside a dog, a very aggressive dog. So if I can call a dog a cat eating maniac, then yes, I do.
So,
and no, I'm not undercover CIA coob. Not yet. They haven't recruited me, even though I've been like dog whistling nonstop, you know, telling them, you know, hey guys, maybe I don't hate what you're up to. But no, not yet. I'll let you guys know when I'm CIA. I'll put this basketball creature like upside down, and then you'll know I'm in the CIA.
Heard it here, boys. Heard it here, boys and girls. Beavis, so we talked a lot today about really sort of like the political landscape and how it intersects with cryptocurrency. Do you have any final sort of like thoughts, words, last say?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, money is apolitical. But it is a tool for politics. Like what we're doing is at a lower level than politics. Politics, I would say, is relatively low level. It's like baseline human urge. But money, I would say, is universal, or as close to universal as anything can be. So everything is going to try to leverage cryptocurrency, leverage this technology to suit whatever their agenda is. But at the end of the day, it has no bias. It just has whatever bias is applied to it by the guy trying to sell you something, whether it be, you know, sell you on voting for him, you know, sell you, you know, some investment, sell you some, you know, be my friend sort of deal, some weird social dynamic. But yeah, Bitcoin unbiased, cryptocurrency unbiased. If you think it is, then that's your problem.
There you go. Well, thank you, Beavis. Last question for you is, who can do more push-ups, you or Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
I can probably do more push-ups, although I'm kind of out of shape.
Well, those
at one time, at one time, I could do 100 push-ups pretty easily.
Dang.
Now I'm getting fat, so who knows? I haven't tried in a while.
Hey, me too, man. Fat and happy, right?
Yeah.
Well, Beavis, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate you. Are you coming on tomorrow with Mark Jeffrey on Across the Chains?
I do not believe I am, although I have been known to be pulled into stuff last minute, so we'll see.
You have been.
Oh, well, great. I pulled in.
We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
You think about it, but everybody listening tomorrow across the chains with Mark Jeffrey, we'll be talking more about RFK and the implications that his words have had on the industry, and also talking about Cello wanting to be an L2.
Interesting. Yeah, I've got a fair number of opinions on that, but I think at the end of the day, there's never a cold week, and I recommend everybody listen to Tibetan healing flute music to enhance their mental state.
I can play the Tibetan flute.
Really?
Yep. All right, buddy. Well, that's the show. Thank you all so much for coming on. Beebus, thank you so much, man. You're a very smart individual, and I love having you on the show. Blockbytes back for the first time in 3 days. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Emmett, get us out of here, man.
Thank you, guys.